You know, when the Lord begins to do things, we've talked about it. I'll mention as we open up because I want us to keep this in the forefront of us. The power of the testimony. The Spirit of the Lord is the testimony of Jesus. I'm sorry, the Spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. Now, what do we know about the Spirit of prophecy? It will transform the environment. When the prophetic spirit comes into an atmosphere, anything can happen. One of the most poignant Old Testament pictures of that for me is when Saul is sending people to arrest Samuel and David. But Samuel, the prophet of the nation, is standing there among the prophets, and nobody can get close to them because they fall down on their face. Because the prophetic spirit transforms the atmosphere. And so when the Lord comes to do something that yields a testimony, and that testimony is spoken, it releases that spirit of prophecy that caused that testimony so that there's another testimony by that spirit, and boom, 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 the thing just cascades. I was listening to a teaching by Bill Johnson, and he was sharing about two or three people they had in their sphere of influence who had been healed of muscular sclerosis. Now, that's pretty impressive stuff. And there was a woman who had been trying to get to their location to receive prayer because she had the same affliction. And then in the course of the two failed attempts, one involved an automobile accident, the other involved a cracked skull, you know, the kind of things that throw up in your way to keep you from getting there. Stumbling blocks, if you would. Next time they heard she was coming, they sicked the intercessors on it just so they could get there safely. And then, of all things, the Lord gave a specific word of knowledge about an issue in her life that when the issue was dealt with, the symptoms of that disease went away. Now, a couple of folks who are here routinely asked me recently, what do you do when you pray and you don't see anything happen? Well, that's one of the things you do. You know healing is in the atonement. When you pray in accordance with His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the petitions for which we ask. So when we do that and we don't get what we ask for, it's not the time to lose heart. It's the time to press in and find out why. Remember, things are hidden not from us, but for us. And so as we get to the place where we know we hear the Lord's voice, when we begin to see in the realm of the Spirit those rhema things, remember, any time God shares a word or an image with us about the situation, we're free to declare it because that's a living word in the moment. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that word is not what's written in the text. That word is what God speaks in the moment, the rhema. Because no rhema is impossible because it brings with it the power to perform itself. All right? Remember that? Okay. So when those things are spoken in the moment, if we will declare what God is saying, that prophetic spirit reshapes the atmosphere and allows what He has exposed to be dealt with. We're learning some stuff, and I'm way ahead of myself. Let's go back to the beginning. Because I'm really determined that we're going to live in the ripple effect, that we're going to live in the expectancy that God could break in any moment. We're going to put that to the test tonight. What do you think? That reminds me. Tonight, I want those with the gift of hospitality at the door. I want those who have the shepherding grace, greeting the sick and afflicted, befriending them and sitting with them. I want those of you who move in the gift of healing up near the front. I want the prophetic seers right directly behind me, because we're going to read the wind and see what God is doing, and we're going to follow the Spirit of God into the ministry to this community. All right? Those are your assignments. I'll see you tonight, 6:15-ish or so. Don't show up late. We will have people arriving early, I'm sure. I want to take a look at something, because Casey's situation, and oh, by the way, I have a testimony. Okay? But it's a great testimony. It says, PC. That's me, Pastor Clark. My right foot feels flatter, and now I can walk straighter, KDB. I've made a commitment to her that every Sunday that I'm here that I'm not preaching, I'll sit there and I'll continue to pray about this situation. Because I learned something from the Holy Spirit one morning. I mentioned it to you before, but hear it again so you might take advantage of it. Some time back now, two or three months ago, whatever it was, I was sitting there with Katie, and the Lord showed me something, and I began to pray it. And the power of God came on us in a very tangible way. In fact, Molly came up from wherever Molly had been earlier, and she placed her hand on Katie and said, "Whoa, the presence of God is all over her." I said, "Yep, it happened just a few minutes ago." And I've been sitting. I sat there with her about 20, 25 minutes, and I was watching something in the Spirit happen. Well, a month or so later, I went back to pray for her again. You know, we're trying to undo the neurological damage inflicted by a drunk driver when she was a young child. And the Lord was showing us that it was neurological, and that as I was making contact with her, the power of God was moving into the situation, and I saw stuff happening. Well, I got a call later that week, and she had her foot flat down on the floor, and this, that, and that. We all got excited. I went back to pray for her some weeks later, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit revisited me with that grace and that image. And so I just picked up where I left off weeks ago, and it started happening again. So I was instructed by that. When the Lord gives you a word in a situation you haven't seen its fulfillment, go back to that word and pick it up again. I didn't know that. Now I know that. So I'm going to keep going back and picking it up in our corporate times together. All right. But there's something I actually want to say. Let's get there. It's in Luke chapter 17. Actually, Luke chapter 18 is where I want you to go. I'll set it up. Because I want us to see something. It's important that we grasp that we are not simply living in the present moment. If I were to say to you, when did the blood of Jesus begin to become a reality on behalf of human beings, we would have to say that it was before the foundation of the world. For the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. Now, we know the actual blood, the ratification of that promise, happened a little over 2,000 years ago. But we see the power of the blood being presented in A, when God reclothed Adam and Eve. He took skins and clothed them. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there's not a creature on the planet that comes with a zipper. Okay? Blood was shed for them to be clothed with skins. And then we see the Passover celebration instituted in Israel where if when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then we go forward to Calvary and we see the shedding of the blood. We've been made partakers with that. But the fact that we stand here today, united in spirit with God our Father, restored in fellowship to Him, is not a present day only experience. We have been preceded by thousands, hundreds of millions of believers, and we can anticipate there are going to be many more believers. That we are the in-between people from when God initiated what He was going to do and when He said He's going to consummate it. So we have the activity of God in our life, like I'm talking about Katie and Casey is sharing her testimony. The activity of God is in our life, but already those two events are in the past. Already they're in the past. But what did they do for us? They gave us an expectancy about our future. The activity of God right in this moment will be history tomorrow morning that will move us with expectancy into our future. You see that? Every time we stand up to say what He has done, we go, at least around this house, I don't know how it is for those of you who are just guests this morning, around this house, our response is, well, what's He going to do next? Not just, well, isn't that a good story about what He did? We start looking in the moment, because the power of the testimony means it might happen again right now. You know, it could happen right now as we speak. That's the beauty of what this motion of the Holy Spirit is about. Now, in Luke chapter 17, I know I sent you to 18, I'm coming that way. Jesus is just going about on an ordinary day doing miracles. See, expectancy, and I'm avoiding the word faith for a reason, but expectancy has its root in a past activity. Because He is the same yesterday, I can believe He's the same today, and that He'll be the same tomorrow. If I understand what He did. See, Israel still celebrates what He did.
And there's a hope of what he's going to do. But there's a dearth of activity in the middle. We know what Jesus did. We have testimonies of what he did for us. And so we stand in the place of expectancy. Plus, we have promise ahead of us. So Jesus is just kind of going around a basic day. And he comes along and there's these 10 lepers. And they cry out to him. And he says, okay, go show yourself to the priest and you'll be healed. And as they're going, they're healed. And one of them returns. In fact, it was a Samaritan. Not even none of the nine Jewish guys came back to say thank you. But the foreigner comes and falls down at the feet of Jesus. So we have a stake in the ground. There's another episode in the life of Jesus. Now, we got to keep in mind, the Bible doesn't tell us the whole story. Right? John chapter 22, verse 25 says this. And I suppose that if all the things that Jesus did were written, the world itself could not contain the volumes. 3.5 years, folks. And there's not enough paper to hold up to what he did on a daily basis. We get little snapshots to kind of go, oh. But they don't define the all, just the oh. Get it? So here we are. We got this past activity. Now, what happens when God does anything in the presence of human beings? They start asking about what he's going to do. You know, what are you going to do next? Or when is the kingdom going to come? People just start asking the wrong questions. I've lived through these kinds of questions. Somebody stands up to testify that Jesus healed them of such and such. And somebody else says, well, how do I know they were really sick? I've had my own family members say that to me. Not my immediate, I mean, not the people I live with here. Seriously, not those. But the other side of the family. When they see him do something, we should anticipate he'll do something else. But instead, we ask the wrong questions. We declare, you know, I've been praying and asking God for help. And somebody else will ask, don't you realize that God helps those who help themselves? Anybody ever heard that? Uh-huh. Or we say, you know, God spoke to me and they said, don't you realize that constitutes you as a schizophrenic? Now, right? When we pray, you know, we're talking to God. When God talks to us, it's schizophrenia. Look it up. It's hearing voices. Okay? But when God speaks, when he does something, we tend to respond with the wrong question. A lot of people do. We're trying to change our mindset about that. Jesus heals this bunch. And take a look at what happens. The very next thing is that the Pharisees start popping off. In verse 20, he said, now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God come? Now, what did they think the kingdom of God was going to be? It was going to be the triumphant reign of the Son of David. He would come in and overthrow the Roman government. And he would establish his throne and Israel would be restored to her former glory. And of course, we'll be the guys that hang out around the throne. Now, they had a mindset. We've talked about mindsets last year. Go look it up on the net, download the stuff, get educated. They had a mindset. They knew how God was supposed to operate. We had a clear identity, a good theology of what it was going to be like when he came. Just like many of the people who are telling you today what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. Let me tell you something. If you have figured out what it's going to be like when God decides to show up, you've missed it already. He's not addicted to your plan or your theology. When Jesus comes, it's going to be a hoot. Beyond that, I don't know what it's going to look like. All right? But it is going to be startling. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be wonderful. And it's probably going to be preceded by a lot of trouble. I mean, when he shows up, we'll be ready for him. Okay? He'll see to that. But they come to Jesus and they're looking for the kingdom, looking for the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? And Jesus says, well, it's not going to come like you're thinking. As a matter of fact, the kingdom is in your midst.
Oh, yeah. That's a good response. Like where?
Well, you know, in your midst. You ever hear people ask questions and you realize that the question doesn't make any sense because they don't know anything? Really, you know. I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Watch, John. I'll get in big trouble over this one, but it really illustrates the point. This guy comes on up to a fellow and says, let me ask you something, man. He said, what? He says, where's the woman yet? He said, what? He says, you know, the woman's yet. Where's her yet? He said, what are you talking about? You don't know, do you? What do you mean I don't know? I don't even know what the question means. Tell me what you're talking about. I said, well, I was reading in the paper that this woman got shot, and the paper said the bullet is in her yet. Now, have you ever had conversations with people like that? They're so clueless, even the question doesn't make sense. Now, I don't want to pick on them. I'm a prophet. I don't want to pick on them because if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we wouldn't know anything either. But still, in the little bit that we know, we get in trouble thinking we understand what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. I want to be kept off balance by the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. As awkward as it is in my soul and for me emotionally, I don't want to ever get to the place where I can say with authority, I know everything he's going to do and how he's going to do it. Because I read someplace, his mercies are new every morning. I mean, I appreciate the fact that the Lord lets us practice the same stuff over and over and over until we get a skill level in it. But listen, I don't want a skill level at step A. I want to go on with another skill level to step B. I'm so excited about what the prophetic people are telling us God is doing around us. I had a testimony from a group that met the other night. When the angel came in the room, this time it wasn't just one saying so. Three people said so, and they saw him clear enough to describe what he was wearing and agreed that's what they saw. Now that's an upgrade for us. That's an upgrade. I am seriously committed to the demonstrations of spirit and power. That means we have to hang around in that environment because if we're ever going to see the gospel of the kingdom, it must come with power. That is the only way Jesus ministered. Authority and power. The words are confirmed by the works and the works get explained by spiritual words. Paul says, we do have a wisdom, a spiritual wisdom, but we can't even tell you yet because you're still babes. So what did he give them? Demonstrations of spirit and power to the babies. The activity of God sets us up to begin to expect him to do things. That expectancy begins to provoke us about what it means to participate in a future reality now. You are connected to eternity already. You have access to the mind of God. It is possible to be caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day and see from the perspective of eternity both things that have happened, things that are going to happen, as if they have already happened. And Jesus made this promise to you, that when he comes, he shall reveal to you things to come. Folks, we got places to scratch we don't even know we're itching in yet. The Spirit of God is willing to tutor us into greater dimensions of his revelatory realm. And I, for one, am jealous for it. We need to be able to see what's coming to our community, to our nation, to our families. We need to listen. If light is not out there speaking the counsel of God, all decisions get made in darkness. All of them. Where is the knowledge of witty invention supposed to come from? Where should the next cancer cure come from? Where should the next resolution to the Islam dilemma come from? It has to come from the people of God. They're the only ones who have access to the light. We are the ones who have access to the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We've got to quit thinking like, go sit and listen and start standing up, laying hold of heaven and bringing down. We had a great image this morning in prayer. Somebody saw us. How many of you remember, was it the nutty professor where they did the absent-minded professor where they did the flubber thing? Is that it? They saw the Lord equipping us to go boing, grab a hold of it and pull it down into time and space. In prayer, boing, lay a hold of something in eternity, pull it down into time and space. That's not a far-fetched thing. It's not a far-fetched thing. Why was Mary able to say to her son, they're out of wine?
He said, "Woman, my time has not yet come." And she said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." He checked in with Father again, and Father said, "Do what your mother tells you."
What did she see? From before he was born, at his birth, at his circumcision, when he was 12 years old, the scripture says this about her. She hid these things in her heart. What did she lay hold of? She saw who he was, and she reached into the future and by faith pulled into her hour before his hour what was needed. Why is David such a stumbling block to Jewish theologians? How could a man walk into the open presence of the ark of the presence of God and not be killed? When the law specifically says, if you do that, you will die. Instead, he hung out there day and night worshiping God. Why is it in this hour and for the last 25 years, we talk about the restoration of the tabernacle of David? To pray, what? Because David saw our day and wanted it. He reached into the future and pulled it back into his time. He got something from God and laid hold of it and required it to be manifested. This is not far-fetched. Go put those lenses on and reread your Bible. What did Abraham see? He saw the future. The Bible clearly says that the gospel was preached to Abraham. There wasn't even a gospel then. But he saw it. God gave him an image of what his future would be, and he began to walk in it in the now that was his. Do you see it? The activity of God should be more than just a good story. It should be the thing that just makes us like hunting dogs. We get on the trail of the Holy Spirit and we're waiting. Boing! You know, I found him. He's over here. You know, and then do whatever he's doing. Isn't this a more exciting possibility than what religion has offered us? You know, man, I love the life I'm living. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it because at any moment, eternity can show up in my next footstep. I can reach out to shake the hand. And I remember I was being introduced to this pastor from Russia. I was in the Ukraine and he was down from St. Petersburg. And I reached out to shake his hand. Soon as I shook his hand, heaven opened up to me and I saw things and began to declare them to him. And then I went back on to what I was doing. I was there to give a lecture. But we're the delivery boys. We are the UPS guy that doesn't get stepped on by the big collector. You were there. You know, I only saw that one in the Super Bowl. I haven't seen it since. Because we are in this in-between place where we have a history and we have a hope of a future, there's some things that come to us, and that's what I want to look at for these next 4 minutes in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Now, as you go into this thing, I know you've read it before. I know you've heard stuff before. But before you start reading it, I want you to hear this. All right? Just checking to make sure you're not reading ahead. The present activity of God. Expectancy for the activity of God has a source in the present moment, in our present reality. Now, you've heard this parable before, and you've heard it you've heard it presented like, well, you know, if you just pester God long enough, let's stop right there and understand something. This parable is not about comparison. It's about contrast. Comparison. To set off in contrast, to compare and appraise and respect, the representing of one thing or person as another, similar to or like. There is nothing like the unrighteous God that speaks about the righteous judge. Unrighteous judge speaks about the righteous judge. There's no comparison. You understand? This is a contrast. It's to set one thing against the other to show that they're different. So look at it. Now, he was telling them a parable. Stop right there. You got a pen, underline it. This next phrase, to show that all times they ought to pray, and parenthesis, quotes, underline, arrows over the vine, says, hey, look closely over there and not lose heart. You know what losing heart means? It means giving up. It means quitting. He is showing them, he's telling them a parable so that they will understand they ought always to pray, not what? Losing heart. Okay? Now, how do you lose heart in prayer? You keep asking for the same thing in the same way and getting no response. Got the t-shirt? All right. That's the old way of thinking and doing. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this woman might give me, because this woman bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, she might give me a black eye. That's the alternative rendering of that phrase. I'm not kidding you. That word that's spun right there can come out as it is interpreted here, that by coming continually, she will wear me out. The alternative rendering is, or give me a black eye. I'm for the black eye. I think that makes more sense. This is not a Jewish judge, by the way, because all Jewish tribunals were free. The defendant had a judge, the prosecutor had a judge, and there was one appointed as a neutral judge to do. So this is about Roman corruption. These are the robber judges who took bribes, and she didn't have enough to bribe him with for him to go at risk offending whoever her opponent was. But he gave in through importunity, it's called. Now, the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, is that up there? Now, all right, here's where the contrast comes. Not the comparison, the contrast. Now, having said that, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them. How? Quickly. Quickly. We should anticipate a quick response from God. And when we don't get it, it is not that God's not listening. We have to go through an adjustment. We now understand that when we pray in accordance with his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the petition for which we ask. And we know, generally speaking, we see a lot of that happen. Amen? All right. Now, when we get to the point where we don't see it happening, the response is not to lose heart, but it's also not to keep praying the same prayer in the same way. It's to go find out what God is saying about that situation. Thank you. Who am I? Lanny, that was a really good point. I realized nobody else got it. Man, I heard you on that one. Thank you. It's a mindset. You remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well incident, she goes into town. She's bringing out the whole town. The guys are there. They're giving him lunch. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And here comes the crowd. And Jesus says to them, isn't it true that you say there are 4 months until the harvest? But I say to you, the fields are white unto harvest, which is true. The fields are white unto harvest. But how do we think? A little bit longer. A little bit longer. What's the key there? Jesus says, look up, for the fields are white unto harvest. Now, when you read that thing, you tend to think the disciples are standing there thinking, what's he talking about? They're looking down, and he says, look up, and here comes a crowd. He says, look, the fields are white. No. What he's saying is what he always said. I don't do anything I don't hear my Father doing or see him doing. Don't say it, don't do it unless I hear it or see it. Okay? So when he says, look up, what's he talking about? Get heaven's perspective on the situation, because if you get the right perspective, everyone is harvestable now. Okay? If the Roman road don't get you there, then get the highway to heaven. Get the heavenly highway.
Oh, and all the old people chuckled.
Get the heavenly highway to see what anointing is needed to break that yoke so that that person can be set free. You understand? Now, when you know that you can hear the voice of Jesus, that's not a hard thing to do. But we grew up in an atmosphere where we not only didn't know how to hear the voice of God, we weren't sure that God spoke in spite of what the Scripture says, that my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. But we have embraced that truth and we're finding ourselves moving into higher dimensions of communion and reception in the things of the Spirit. Let me tell you something, folks. Your pastor knows how to hear from God. Okay? Be encouraged in that. I hear from the Lord. He talks to me about these things. I don't generate self-excitement. I am pulsating with anticipation because God is saying things into my heart about our future. And I am geared, man. I'm wired. Put restraints on me or it's going to be dangerous. All right? We have an inheritance in Christ right now. And part of it is hearing what God is saying in the moment. Thank God for the coming of Christ. Thank God for the New Jerusalem. Thank God He'll wipe away our tears. Thank God we're going to escape the flames. But praise God, it can start now. We can have His reality now. We can lay hands on and see God move now. We can pray and see circumstances change. And when they don't change, we can go back to Him and say, what am I missing? He said, I'm glad you asked. I've been saving this for now. And lift that little partition. Oh, I get it! And we're in a new place. Just like that, we're in a new place. That's the power of revelation. In May of 2005, God walked in on a Sunday evening and started healing. He started with somebody who didn't know squat about healing. They didn't know zip, and the power of God came on them. I happened to be there, got to explain it. We saw several people healing, and we've been going ever since. But He sovereignly showed up. Weren't you glad, darling? It was your back that got healed, as I recall. But bones moving around in there. That old accident thing undone. How many years had you lived with that? Longer than she could remember, she lived with that pain. And Jesus came in a moment. Woo-wah! That's been coming up on a year now. Coming up on a year now. She's not had a problem since. But God came and sovereignly lifted the veil. Understand this. Anytime Jesus lifts the veil of revelation, it's so we can get a higher anointing to accomplish what we've just seen. You know, every time we get a new revelation, it's not supposed to be a spike in the graph. It's supposed to be the new bar to which we rise. You know, so that everybody goes there. Who's got pain in their back? Stand up. Those of you with pain in your back. Michelle, go lay hands on these people. You know what to do. Father, just loose your healing virtue right now through her in Jesus' name. Okay, she's going to go to the back and work her way forward. Yeah. I thought it was ladies first too, honey, but you know, this younger generation. Not lose heart. Quickly, faith on earth. Will he find faith on earth? Here's my position on this, okay? As long as we keep petitioning Him for His activity in our daily life, there will be faith on earth. But a belief system that doesn't place demands on the anointing is just fantasy. There is no point defending the truth that Jesus heals if you never ask Him to heal. It's pointless to say Christ will save you and you never extend an invitation for salvation. You're living in a fantasy world. We live in a real world that's got real problems and He's a real God who shows real power and we are those people. God is gracing us in that direction. As long as we insist on the activity of God. Now, Jim, I know you like her, but as soon as you're healed, say so, will you? Move it around and then we'll get you healing somebody too. Pain all gone?
Let me put my glasses. The paint all gone? I'm sorry? Heat there? Move it around. Do something to make it hurt. It's all gone? Praise God.
Hold it. Don't just sit down. Get up.
You see all these people waiting to be healed? Go pray for one. You've got... Jim, do you have faith for backs right this second?
Sure he does.
Sure he does. Look at this now. A moment ago, we had one person praying for healing. Now we got two. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have three. Then we're going to have four. And they will all have faith for backs because they just got healed. Don't send them back to their seat. Send them to the next afflicted person. We still got one, two, three, four, five, six people waiting to be healed. Go for it, Jim. Speak to that pain. Knock that sucker out of there in Jesus' name. It must obey. As long as we will manifest the activity of Jesus, there will be faith on earth. Because it will be tangible. These healings, by tomorrow morning, these testimonies will be history. But these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people will have faith for backs. When we pray, you all done? All done? Pain all gone? Don't give me that. Is the pain all gone? You're going to answer my question. All right, hit it again. Listen, pain must go. It does not have any choice. Don't submit to it. Pain has got to go in the name of Jesus. It must obey the name of Jesus because it's out of order. The Prince of Peace comes to destroy the authority that establishes disorder, and pain is out of order. It's been identified. Now it must submit. Okay? That's the Prince of Peace. That's His ministry of peace. Peace I give you, not as the world gives you. Right? He goes right to the root.
There ought to be some fire coming on that spot. You feel it?
Uh-huh. I see it. Oh, yeah, that's hot. Really? Fire and ice. This is good. Hey, I tell you what. Let me show you something. Honey, come stand over here. Come on over here. And you. This is Earhart. Marcia, you come up here too. No, listen. I want to show you something. Russ, I want you to put your hand. Now, you show him. Small to your back. Is it small? Go stand right in front of this guy in the plaid shirt here. And you put your hand on her back. Start speaking to that. Marcia, you come up in front. Now, I know you're new to this, honey. Just trust me. God loves you. He'll do this for you. Put your hand on her back and you start speaking to the pain. Now, we'll get a conga line of healing going here. All right? I'm serious. There's a heart attack on this stuff. That it'll jump just like electricity. Zip, 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 zip. Father, show them right now in Jesus' name. Just show them. Heal them all. All righty. As long as we will give ourselves to the activity of God, we will see faith on the earth, even if it's just kind of, you know, they see it, don't know what to do with it, but they have seen it, you know. And it gives opportunity for people to respond to the reality of Christ. Every time someone is healed, it says aloud again, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And it's the resurrection that's the period on all the promises. It is finished definition, that period right there. Every time we see demonstrations of spirit and power in the name of Jesus, we are saying in living color, yea, He is risen. That's the power of our testimony. Now listen up. Here's where we're closing. We've got 5 days of fasting coming up this week. Another healing service next Sunday night at 6:30. Our last 5 days of healing, I asked you for a specific thing. Do you remember what it was? I wanted you to be able to state your reason for being in time and space. We went through the issue of how you had been formed and fashioned in the womb, that God came and did extraordinary things to make you uniquely you. I ask you to take that week and find out for you what God was saying about you. Here's my conclusion for me from that week. This is how I boiled it down. I am manifest within time and space as a son of my Father to represent Jesus to my world. That's why I'm in time and space. It got clear for me. It came down to that. This is what drives me. This makes my lights come on. This is what I'm giving my life to. That's why I get up in the morning.
because I'm here to demonstrate Jesus all over again. Now, our next watch is a week from this Friday. Is that right? It's the first Friday in March. I think that's a week from this coming Friday. I want you to bring your statement with you, and I want to hear it with my own ears. Here's your second assignment, and it's for this week. You might want to make note of this. Once you have discovered what it is you are, I want you to go before the Lord this week and find out what obstacles keep you from being the person you were designed to be. Get it from His perspective. I don't want to hear any trash talk about your past. Look, when you came to Christ, He rewrote your past. All right? He changed the definition of your reality when you came to Him. But there's something going on that's keeping you from being that person God has crafted you to be. And I want you to get His insight on it. And then we're going to find a way to go after it and set you free to be Him among us. Won't that be cool? I can hardly wait to see you. Really. I want to see who you really are in Him. And then I want to parade you across the planet so you can demonstrate who He is in you. How are we doing here? Talk to me, Russell. You're free? How about our newcomer here? You still got pain? Hit it again. Marcia, how are you doing? All the way down your leg? Is it sciatic? Hey, Danny, where are you? Come bring your healed sciatic over here and pray for this one. Now, because I know his testimony, God sovereignly healed him in an instant of several years of that distress. This man believes God will do it for you. How are we doing? How are we doing here? Not yet? Hit it again. Make it submit. Listen, it cannot remain. It must obey Jesus. How are we doing back here? Hit it again. How are we doing over here? Shepherd, talk to me. Are we free? You don't look free. Come up here and get free. Jane Audrey, bring her up here. Jane Amber, bring her up here. All righty. Let's give God an opportunity for whatever else is in the house. What do we got cooking? You got some stuff? Am I the only one that thinks this is fun? Man, I would do this all day long. What you got? Are we supposed to magically... All right. Not sure who this might be for or how many. I saw a clock. Then I saw the part of the movie in The Lion King where Simba was frolicking in the meadows. And I heard the Lord say, it is time. I sense that the Lord is calling those that have been running away or playing. Who did this? Who got this? Give me the sense of this. Is this a call to those who have been lollygagging? Is that a good word down where you're from? Or hiding? Okay. All right. There's a prophetic appeal this moment from the Lord to those of you who know you've been playing and hiding from Him. And if you think this is the day to start over, this is the moment to stand up and come say so. What you got?
Someone is crying out for justice in their prayer. You've been really going before the Lord for justice. You come up for prayer.
I'm expected to come quickly.
Mm-hmm. Calvin. Where's Calvin? There's a word for him. I sense that too. So this is a second one. Matt. Matt. Hi, Matt. Come on up, Matt. That's a word for you here.
We got an email we want to give you, son.
Emily Colby. Emily's downstairs because she's one of our young
ones. Somebody retrieve Emily. How are we doing?
Emily Colby.
Smile. Hey, what's that grin about? You mean to tell me that pain is gone? Is that cool or what?
Yeah. I was healed twice before, back in when I lived in Howard County. I told my husband when we got married, I can't see it, period. I can't. Got married, got saved. 3 months later, I had my little boy. Miracle. Miracle, miracle. My insides, I had a picture of my insides, and they were just so messed up as a female. Took the picture to church, had it prayed on, went back, had another x-ray, crystal clear, had a little girl. This just happened. And he brought me. It's my first time here. And I drove by it one time, and something about me said, come here.
Well, you're welcome.
I was praying. I needed church, and this definitely feels like a home.
And who are you?
I'm Kathy Rowe.
I'm Lanny Clark.
Hi.
Pleased to meet you.
I can do this.
Look at you can do that. Isn't that cool? Thank you, Lord. So, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
One other thing. Someone out there, I guess...
Oh, come here. Thomas.
...has a sense that judgment has been decreed against them and that it's unchangeable. And Louise, is this a sense that it's an unrighteous judgment?
All the way back up.
Why am I standing here with a mic?
Just what I saw was a hammer come down and somebody was like, well, that's it. Whether it's right or wrong, that's what I'm getting in and that's what I'm stuck with and nothing can be changed about it. And the Lord says, I don't think so. I'm the ultimate judge and I decide. And so if you feel like you're bound by some negative decree in your life, that the Lord wants to change that thing and bring hope. About 15 years ago, I was in a program to help to build my own house in a community. And every time, once a month, I would have a minor accident, like falling out of the rafters. I had a wall fall on my shoulder, you know, little things like that. And I've had pain in my lower back. I've stood longer today without pain than I have in 10, 15 years. Usually by this time I would have to sit down because the pain would be so excruciating. I still have a little pain, but I trust the Lord that He's going to finish the healing He's begun.
I believe it's time for you to dance.
Go after it again.
How are we doing over here? You're going to prophesy this time. Right, why don't y'all stand? You need to come to the altar for healing. You need to get your heart right with the Lord. You need to quit playing and running around and come really commit yourself and get serious about moving into being the person God's ordained you to be. The altar is open. We invite you to come and do business with the Lord. The rest of you, we've got a reception downstairs, and we invite you to join us for light snacks and yakking. We'd love to meet our first-time guests. Move in the direction of the altar or through the doors. You're dismissed.